I want to read a couple of verses to you as we get started. They're found in the middle of your bulletin. After the second passage, after Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, it says in Habakkuk 2:4, it says, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith, by his faith." Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And then finally in Hebrews 4:1-3, it says, "Therefore, since a promise remains for entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest." Now, if we have learned anything through our study of Hebrews, it is that faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins and for our eternal salvation, God's promised plan of salvation, must be present in our lives if we are going to enter the eternal rest God has prepared for us. Knowing this vital truth, the writer of Hebrews, according to Lewis Evans, now presents a dynamic and unforgettable definition of faith that penetrates the very core of the modern heart. That is what we see in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. An awesome definition of faith that penetrates our heart, that confirms to us that faith in Christ is a reality and that it is something that we should desire. As we will see in chapter 11 of Hebrews, faith in God is what will guide us both to victory and sustain us in defeat. Faith will give us wisdom as well as guidance and endurance through life. The faith defined in this chapter gave refreshment to the soul, confidence in the face of criticism, and boldness in the face of virtually insurmountable obstacles. This faith will do the same for you and I. Just like the people spoken of in this chapter, faith will lead us to have a life of meaning and significance. A life pleasing to God that leaves a legacy for others to follow. So let's take a look at this passage and see three elements that define genuine faith. First of all, look at verse 1 in chapter 11. It says, "Now faith is the substance, of things hoped for." Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the foundation of our hope in the promised plan of God. That is my first point. Faith is the foundation of our hope in the promise plan of God. The word substance is given to describe a genuine faith. This Greek word, hypostasis, means to stand under. The root word, stasis, means a footing on which stones are placed. Along with the prefix hupo, it signifies a solidly concrete foundation. So faith is the substance, the foundation of everything that we hope for in Christ Jesus. It is a foundation that is solid and real. Our faith is not founded on feelings or an imaginary product of our own philosophical views. It is not something we made up in our dreams, and it is not something mentally weak people use as a crutch to get through life. No, faith is a concrete reality that exists because God created it. Understand that. Faith exists in us because it is as real as water, as real as the chair you are sitting in, as real as the air you breathe, because it is a substance created by Almighty God. That is what we need to recognize here. Because our faith is real, we can have confidence in the God who created faith to deliver on His promises and fulfill His plan for our salvation. You see, faith is something that is real. It's real. It's a real substance. It's what you need to have as your concrete foundation for everything we are hoping for in the future through Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you to just go by your feelings. God's not asking you to just go by your feelings. He wants to give you something solid and concrete, a faith in Him that is real, that exists, and it does exist. Stanley Outlaw says, faith is the substance, the very foundation of things hoped for, because it gives us a confident assurance that those things will come about. The next phrase, things hoped for, shows us the attitude faith produces as well as the focus of our faith. Hope is belief accompanied by expectation. This is the attitude that faith produces as we consider the promises of God. We expect the promises of God to come to pass. Because of the existence of a real faith in Jesus Christ, we expect Him to fulfill His promise to come again, to set up His kingdom, and to give us eternal life. Now, the reality that you have faith in Jesus Christ makes us understand that faith is real. Now, that may seem like circular reasoning, but understand something. When I acknowledge the existence of this plate, I acknowledge that it is real. When you acknowledge that faith is real, that it exists, you acknowledge that it is real. It's existing in you, isn't it? You have faith in Jesus Christ. It is real. It's as real as this plate right here. And because of that, because God created faith, just as He created everything we can see, we can have a hope in the things that He has promised to us. It is the very foundation or substance of the things we hope for. The existence of faith itself is reason for us to hope in the things that Christ has promised for us in the future. So let's remember, faith is a real concrete substance that exists in those who have assurance that Jesus will fulfill all He has promised in our lives. That is what we need to understand. That is one aspect of faith defined. Faith is the foundation of our hope in the promised plan of God. Now, look at verse 1 again, the second part. It says, after the substance of things hoped for, it says, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Now, faith is the evidence that there is hope in the promise plan of God. So not only is faith the foundation of our hope, faith is actually evidence that there is a hope in the promise plan of God. You know, everyone wants evidence that their faith is based on reality. Don't we? Don't we all want evidence that our faith is based on reality? That our faith isn't just based on some mythical story? That our faith isn't just based on something, our emotions, or something we've made up in our minds? That it's not just some kind of chemical concoction that happens in the human element that makes us want to believe? Yeah, we want evidence, and that's okay. It is not wrong for us to look for evidence that justifies our faith. The Bible itself presents evidences that confirm the reality of the Christian faith. Look at Romans chapter 1. It's in our bulletin. Romans chapter 1, in verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." What a magnificent passage of Scripture. We are told here that we can defend our faith in the gospel because God has evidenced himself by revealing his wrath in the conscience of every person. Not only that, but he has given them evidence of his power and his attributes through the reality of creation. So God gives evidence. He gives evidence. And so our faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ is not simply based on feeling, but it is based on what we see, on evidence around us, on what we feel. Remember, I talked about that feeling of guilt. That feeling of guilt, where does that come from? That's not a scientific formula for that. But it comes from an almighty God who is holy. How do we know the attributes of God? Because we have a conscience that tells us that there is. That is why no man is with excuse before God. We have evidences. Look at Acts chapter 1 in verse 3. It says, "To whom also presented himself alive, Jesus, after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Here we are told that after Jesus was crucified and buried, Jesus presented himself alive by many infallible proofs, evidences, being seen by many for 40 days after his resurrection. So the use of evidence to confirm the reality of the gospel and justify our faith is not wrong. It's good for us to understand that there are evidences for our faith in Christ. However, genuine faith cannot be simply based on an intellectual assessment of evidence. Because faith accepts things that cannot be seen as truth. You see, in Hebrews here it says, the evidence of things not seen. So although we can look at evidences around us to confirm our faith in Christ, genuine faith only exists if we accept some truths that we cannot see. John Frame rightly concludes, intellectual assent is never sufficient. We seek nothing less than true faith, but an argument by itself can never produce faith. That is the work of the Spirit. You see, faith is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit of God that is produced in us as we accept His conviction over our sin and His persuasion of the truths of the life of Jesus Christ. That is how genuine faith is produced in us. It is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit of God that is produced in us as we accept His conviction over our sin and His persuasion of the truths of the life of Jesus Christ. That is why faith itself is an evidence for our hope in the gospel. That's why it is an evidence for our hope in the gospel. Let me explain. Genuine acceptance of the gospel of Jesus as truth and living by it requires an unseen supernatural force compelling us to do so. Now, when we see the work of the Holy Spirit bring someone to an acceptance of the truths of the gospel and see them live by them, it confirms that faith in God's promised plan is real. Think about that for a minute. Think about your faith. Is your faith, this real faith that you have in Jesus Christ, that has changed your life, that has helped you live for Him, is that real? Yes, it is. And that is an evidence for faith in God. It is an evidence for the things that we hope for in the plan of God, in His salvation plan. The fact that others have done this is an evidence for this genuine faith. That is why our author here is going to give us several examples of people who live by faith in God and His plan for their lives. Because in that itself is an evidence to the promised plan of God. So faith is an evidence. It is an evidence because it is a supernatural work. It is a supernatural work. And because we can see that supernatural work, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others, it gives us hope that God's going to fulfill His plan. That God is going to fulfill His plan. That Jesus Christ is going to come back again. The fact that you have accepted the truth of God's plan, and are living for Jesus Christ shows the reality of your faith and is reason for your hope. You see, Jesus Christ came to this earth so that He could pay for your sins and for my sins and for the sins of the whole world. And He went to the cross as a perfect sacrifice for those sins. He died on the cross so that your sins could be paid for. He was buried and he rose again. And through that resurrection, he showed us, he gave us evidence that would confirm that our faith in Jesus Christ is justified. But he didn't just do that. We don't just believe it because we heard it. We believe it because he worked a supernatural work in us and produced a faith in us that gives us hope for the future, that gives us hope for eternal life. That is the evidence of things hoped for. That is why we can say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can boldly proclaim it because I know it is real. It is real. Now, look at verse 3. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Finally, faith gives an intimate understanding of the promised plan of God. Faith gives an intimate understanding of the promised plan of God. Creation is the beginning of God's promised plan. Remember that. Creation is the beginning of God's promised plan. Outlaw says, our writer starts where true faith must always start. Let me repeat that. Our writer starts where true faith must always start, with an acknowledgement of God as the creator of all things. What we believe about the origin and creation of the universe reveals the genuineness of our faith. I want you to understand this vital truth. This verse makes it clear that acceptance of God as creator is the beginning of genuine faith. This is why we are studying Genesis 1 through 11 on Wednesday night. It is the very foundation, beginning point of our faith in Christ. If we can't accept what the Bible says about the beginning of God's promised plan at face value, we will have trouble accepting the rest of God's revealed word and plan. If we can't accept that a powerful God created man from the dust of the earth, but we somehow come from a monkey, which is proven to be unscientific, by the way, how are we going to accept the other miracles of the Bible, particularly the resurrection of Jesus Christ? If we can't accept that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, but instead it is over the course of billions of years through natural processes, then we will lack a foundational truth that must be present in order to have genuine faith in God. This is why there is such a ferocious attack on the historical integrity of the Bible, particularly over creation. If the creation account can be discredited, then the Christian faith can be discredited. Understand that. Because in Hebrews, it's clear that the beginning is foundational to our faith. That's why he starts with it, right? In explaining faith in Jesus Christ, he goes to creation, right? So if we can't accept the biblical account of creation, how are we going to accept the biblical account of the resurrection? The same faith, the same substance that is used in us to accept God's account of creation is the same substance that is used for us to believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we need to understand. They are intricately connected. You can't have one without the other. So, James Hoffmeyer makes a brilliant observation. He says, if Orthodox Christian faith, based on the Bible, does not require its foundational events, such as creation, to be real and historical, one must ask, why have anti-Christian polemicists for nearly 2,000 years been so obsessed with undermining the Bible's historicity and accuracy, along with ridiculing the supernatural? You see, even the world knows that it is foundational to the Christian faith that the historical accuracy of events recorded in the Bible be truth. And if they can prove that they're not, then they can destroy the Christian faith. That is why it's so important for us to stand on the truths of God's word and take God's word for what it says and what it means. What you believe about the origin of the universe directly affects what you believe about God. That is very true. What you believe about the origin of the universe directly affects what you believe about God. Faith will give us an intimate knowledge of God. Verse 3 tells us that God can speak things into existence. That's a wonderful knowledge. Notice that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God is so powerful that He can speak things into existence. Now that is knowledge you need for genuine faith, to really accept the truth. So think about this for a minute. To really accept that there exists a powerful, almighty God, so powerful that all He has to do is speak and things are created from nothing. All He has to do is speak and He can create the human race from the dust of the earth. That all He has to do is speak and He can create plants of every kind. That all He has to do is speak and awesome things can happen. We have to believe that kind of God. That is the God that we believe in when we have genuine faith. It is that God, a powerful God, that we have intimate knowledge of because we possess faith. We possess faith. And a faith that can't believe in a God that powerful is a lousy faith. It's a lousy faith. The faith that God gives, that real concrete substance of faith, is a faith that allows us to know in an intimate way a powerful God that can speak things into existence. That is what we want to understand. So, you see, to really know God, we must have faith. Now, from one perspective, knowledge of God can be directly attributed to our salvation experience. From one perspective, knowledge of God can be directly attributed to our salvation experience. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant of the apostle and apostle of Christ, of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith, notice that faith, with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God, there's knowledge again, of our Lord and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge, there it is again, of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, notice the qualities listed here for those who have a precious faith. First of all, a knowledge of God that gives grace and mercy. A knowledge of God that gives grace and mercy. That's found in verse 2. In verse 3, a knowledge that recognizes God's divine power to help us live righteously. Thirdly, in verse 4, it says, a knowledge that acknowledges the promise plan of God, the precious promises. You see, it is by faith that we gain this intimate knowledge of God, that our salvation experience revolves around. So, in a sense, knowledge of God can be directly attributed to our salvation experience. And so, real faith in God is going to result, is going to make exist an intimate knowledge of God that is not just based on the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. That we believe in a God powerful enough to make all of this out of nothing. All of this out of nothing, out of something that can't be seen. All of this because he's that powerful. And we know it because we know who God is. Because we have an intimate knowledge of him through our faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. That is what genuine faith produces. Those without faith question whether God reveals himself to us in a personal way. But those with genuine faith in God know he does. We understand God's promised plan because our faith in Jesus Christ gives us an intimate understanding of how God is working it all out. Let's remember, it is only by faith that we really get to know God and his plan for our lives. So in conclusion, let's remember, faith is a real, concrete substance that exists in those that have assurance that Jesus Christ will fulfill all he has promised. That we have evidence of our faith through its very existence in us and in others. And that faith gives us an intimate understanding of God's promised plan for our lives.